sick. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts, Father, that you would meet us right where we are, and you would minister to us. Father, in our church family, there are individuals that are dealing with great sickness. We pray for Paige. We pray for Rena Watson, Father. We pray for others of our church family that are dealing with sickness at this moment, Father, that you would help them be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, that we as a church would know how to minister to one another. And Father, that even through sickness, that we might exalt Jesus above all. Take this time. Instruct us for what our lives will face. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. At Northside Baptist Church, we are a family. If you look at our signs, on our signs entering the property, it says, "Welcome home." We want you to know you're coming home. You're coming to home folks. You're coming to people that care about you and people that want the best for you. We are called to be God's body of believers right here on 54th Street. Now, as a family, we need to seek time to be together. Did you know as your family grows, your family spreads? And there comes a time in family life when things change. Some of you have very, very little children, and you have a schedule. Guess what? In a few years, those children will get a schedule. You will lose your schedule. You know, they've got to be there and here and somewhere else, and you're going to be carrying them. And in today's world, as they keep growing, there are so many activities that come along. There is ball, school, music practice, gymnastic. There are friends' birthday parties that never end, and you keep buying and taking and going and you know, through it all, it gets very hard to find the time that you get your family unit together. As my kids were growing up, there are many times that we found the only place we could get together is to go out to eat. Now, I know for some people it's coming home to eat, but if you come home to my house, there's phones ringing all the time. And so the only way to actually be together was to go out. And so that's what we did, to have that time together. God wants his family to get together. God's even ordained a time to get together. In this church service, it is a gathering of family. You need it. We need it. In Sunday school, there's a tighter gather of the unit, and that is something that you desperately need. In our church family, there's all kinds of things going on. There are people that have all these things to do instead of being in God's house. Some people even think it's more beneficial to stay at home in bed than be in God's house. Let me tell you, we desperately need to pull together. This world is difficult. There are things that are going to come across your path, and we need to worship together. So God set the priority, and those of us who are in God's family should stick with his priority. As Jesus walked the earth, he set a pattern for not only being in worship, he set a pattern for meeting people's needs. One of my favorite Bible stories about Jesus meeting needs actually took place in a worship service. Jesus was there teaching in actually Peter's mother-in-law's house. I've had the privilege to be there where the ruins of that house is, and it wasn't a very large house, but it was a good-sized house for that day there on the Sea of Tiberias. It's a beautiful setting, and that house was packed. I like to think of church being packed. It's good to have all the seats filled. And by the way, if you buy a seat that's not filled, make sure you get it filled by next week, would you? And let's just fill the place up. And so the room was filled. No place to sit, standing room only. The windows were covered over with people. The door was packed with people. And these four guys were trying to get their friend to Jesus. Four guys who loved a guy so much, they knew that he was sick, knew he couldn't move. They were going to move him. They were going to make sure he got before Jesus. They get to the house, they can't get in. These are Baptist guys, I know, because they were late. And so they come, they can't get in. They try to get in the window, can't get in. They try to get in the door, can't get in. What do? They go up on the roof. Flat roof, went up on the roof. Jesus is actually preaching, and they're digging a hole through this roof. Now, there are layers of this roof, and they literally just kind of dig through the layers until they open a hole in the roof. Now, it would kind of cause some people to look up, I'm sure, if all of a sudden things started falling from the ceiling. And so in the middle of the Jesus preaching, things started falling from the ceiling. And so people look up, and then there's a hole in the ceiling, and there's four guys staring down, and then they're lowering their friend on a stretcher down through this hole. Now, there wasn't any room in the place, so to keep from getting squashed, some people had to move, and probably some people had to squeeze out the door. And this man was laid at Jesus' feet. Jesus did an unthinkable thing at the time, but yet it was the most important thing at the time. He looked at that man that was sick and he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." He dealt with his spiritual need. He dealt with his most important need, forgiveness. There were some in the group that were upset that Jesus said this, because only God can forgive sins. And of course, Jesus was saying, "Yeah, what's your point? Mine is, I can do what God can do because that's who I am." And to prove that Jesus was God, not only could he forgive sins, he said, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." The man was immediately well. Now, he was well physically, but more importantly, he was well spiritually. These guys loved their friend enough that they got him to Jesus. Shouldn't you love your friends that much? Shouldn't you love your family members that much? That you get them to Jesus, that you get them to where they can get the help they need. He needed to be forgiven of sins. You know, we carry baggage. You're familiar with emotional baggage. Some of you have trailers full of it. You know, you've got wounds, you've got sicknesses that you go through, but even when the wounds are gone and when the sin is forgiven, there are scars and baggage that have to be dealt with. And a church not only needs to care for people in their spiritual self, they need to care for people in their emotional self. And we need to deal with people as they come, baggage and all. Sometimes it takes a long time for people to heal. But as a church, we're supposed to care for one another. We're supposed to love one another. We need to understand there are going to be times when people get sick. Now, it's just true. People say, well, why? Why do people get sick? Well, I'm asked that question a lot. There are a lot of things I don't know. There are a few things I do know. I know that all sickness is a result of original sin. That's how sickness got here. Original sin. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed to all men, for all have sinned." When sin came into the world, it didn't come by itself. Sin brought death and decay. So sin and death came together into the world. That means in this world, there is going to be difficulties physically. There's going to be breakdowns physically. There are going to be sicknesses because you're not going to get off the planet alive. And so this is part of the process. Now, while all sickness comes from original sin, listen, not all sickness comes from personal sin. That is, a person can be sick and it not be caused by anything that person said, did, or thought. In John 9, Jesus dealt with a man who was born blind. His disciples gave him the best wisdom of the day. Who sinned to cause him to be born blind? Did he sin? That would have been a trick to be sinned before he got here. But anyway, did he sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents caused the blindness by their personal action. But this was done so that the glory of God might be manifested. So not all sickness is due to personal sin, but some is. Personal sin can cause sickness. King David sinned when he got together in a wrong relationship with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel 11 and 12, you have the result of an oncoming sickness from that sin. David in Psalms 32 relays how he felt. He says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away, through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My vitality was drained away with the fever of sickness. So, sickness comes by original sin. It's not always caused by personal sin, but it can be. Christians and non-Christians get sick. Believers and non-believers. James is writing and he's letting us know that believers can have sickness come into their lives. In verse 13 he says, is any among you afflicted, that is suffering through sickness? In verse 14 he says, is any sick among you? Who was James writing to? He's writing to church members. He's writing to Christians. And so obviously he is saying that Christians can have sicknesses. There are those today that teach that a Christian shouldn't be sick. If you got enough faith, you shouldn't be sick. Just trust the Lord, you shouldn't be sick. Now, while a Christian can be sick because they're out of God's will, a Christian can be sick and be right in the middle of God's will and desires. God can heal. God does heal. Jesus demonstrated personal healing. By the way, all healing is by God. Whether a medical professional or medicine is involved or not, if there is healing done, God is the one that does it. But God doesn't always heal everybody. And it is not always God's will for a person to be healed on this earth. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, come to me and never be sick again. That's not there. Acts 14:22 says, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Paul was the greatest missionary the world has ever known. He believed and followed the Lord, had a tremendous ministry, and this is what he said. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Paul prayed for this ailment, this thorn, to be removed from him. He prayed more than once. Hey, I got a problem. I'm going to talk to God a lot about it. And so he prayed again and again. And yet the difficulty was still there. If you are walking with God, if you know you're in God's will, if you know that your sins are confessed and you are right where God wants you to be, and you have a sickness or an ailment and it is upon you and God has not brought it away from you, then listen. God will use you more with that difficulty or sickness than you could ever be used if you did not have it. So what do we do? How do we deal with sickness? You move forward through faith. Verse 14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and prayer, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. There are many reasons that Christians get sick. Sometimes Christians get sick by personal choice. Now, you probably just had an internal what? People choose sickness? Oh, you better believe we choose sickness. You cram a whole lot of garbage into yourself. You eat everything on the table, and then you go out and eat some more, and then you eat some more. Let me tell you, if you eat enough, you are choosing to be sick. If you drink alcohol and you drink enough alcohol, you are choosing to be sick. If you take enough intoxicants. By the way, we talk about people drinking a lot or giving themselves to an intoxicant. The word toxic means poison. Ever heard of somebody be intoxicated? Poisoned. Who chose to do that? Well, they chose to do it themselves. If you choose to smoke cigarettes, you are moving toward the danger of some physical ailments. This weekend got the news of one of the celebrities passed away, Leonard Nimoy. Live long and prosper. You know, Star Trek fame. Leonard Nimoy was 83. He had a long life. But Leonard Nimoy's last years were very difficult years because of pulmonary disease. And Leonard Nimoy, by his own word, said, I brought this upon myself by smoking. If you choose to smoke cigarettes, we are told that every cigarette will cost you 14 minutes of life. But some people choose sickness. What about if you choose to worry? Well, now we're getting personal. Worry is tied to 58 known diseases. If you choose to worry, you're moving toward sickness. We can get sick by personal choice. We can get sick because of the devil. Now, somehow we like getting sick by cause of the devil more than we like being sick by personal choice. Satan attacked Job with boils from head to toe, seeking to destroy his faith. And yet Job stood strong with the Lord, proving his faith. God can use our sickness. God can use the sickness in your life to benefit you. God can use the sickness in your life to benefit someone else. Hey, if I'm sick, I want it to be worth something. I want to get the most out of it if I've got to go through a period of sickness and trouble. You may have to go through a period of sickness and trouble. Hey, if you get old enough, it's either going to be them or you. Somebody's going to get sick. Your friends who you love, they'll get sick or you'll be the one that gets sick. God used Paul's thorn in the flesh to make him stronger in the faith. If Paul hadn't had that difficulty in his life, then he wouldn't have written 2 Corinthians 12:10, which says, when I was weak, then I am strong. He found the strength of God because he had the sickness. In 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 6, it says, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted? God is saying God will use the, the sicknesses in our life that we go through to help us to comfort and give care to others who need strength. I have talked to a lot of people who have had a heart attack. Heart attacks are no fun. And if you talk to someone that has a heart attack, generally they're in a spot of not believing. They can't believe this could happen to me. Can't believe this could happen at all. I'm way too young for this to take place. It feels bad when you have it. You know the saying of an elephant sitting on your chest? That's about as close to it as I can get. I've never had a real elephant there, but I can tell you, it's not fun. And as I've talked to individuals after their heart attack, I have seen them in this daze and seen them just kind of glazed over as they're trying to deal with what's happened to them. And then I tell them, you know, I had a heart attack. And all of a sudden, they clear and they focus and they listen. Because I've been where they were, they listen to me a little bit more and I'm able to give comfort. By the way, I can tell you the very best thing to do if you have a heart attack. Live through it. You can't do anything else until you do that. Most people that have heart attacks, they never know because most heart attacks cause sudden death. But because I've been there, I've got the creds. I've got the ability to talk to someone who is there. We have members of our church that have gone through cancer. And you know, I can't talk about chemotherapy. I don't know. I see people suffer through it and what a struggle it is. But we have people who've been there. And they can minister in a way that I could never minister. And they can strengthen in a way that I could never strengthen. It just makes a difference. Sometimes people lose loved ones And you know, if you've never lost a loved one, you really don't know what it is. Now, you can understand kind of a little bit of what it is, but you really don't know. But those who have gone through it can come by your side and they can lift you up. And you know they understand because of that conversation. My dad died at 48. Wow, that was young. But I can tell you, because my dad died at 48 and I experienced that at a younger age, I've been able to talk to a lot of people about things that I would have never been able to talk to them about otherwise. God uses what we go through to equip us to help people who go through similar things. Church family. In the family, there's somebody who's been where you are, who's been through what you're going through. They may not have gone through it well, but they know how to go through it well. And they can strengthen you in that process. And so God allows sicknesses to be used in that way. James tells us, if we are sick, to move forward in faith. Now, he's already told us to pray. You got a problem? Pray. Immediately pray. Don't wait. Pray. Don't go to somebody else. Pray. It's the best thing you can do. It's the most important thing you can do. You meet that difficulty with prayer. But James fills in a little bit more. He says, you know, when you are sick, and he's talking about real sickness here. He's not talking about stuffing your toe, okay? He's not talking about you cough three times. You know, if you're really sick, he says, call the elders. Now, who's the elders? That's the pastor. Call the pastor. And call the pastor or call those that the pastor has entrusted to be people of faith, like Sunday school teachers, deacons. Call someone with spiritual responsibility that can come alongside you and who will pray for you. Let me tell you, there will be days when you are so sick, you can't pray for yourself. Oh, but what a comfort to know that you got a body of believers that are praying for you. You've got people that are there by your side. Notice who does the calling. This is really important. The preacher and the staff do not go around calling their congregation to find out who's sick. Hey, are you sick today? No, the one who is sick puts out the call of need. Now, you got to understand this, people. God does give gifts, and he does instruct people in ministry, and he does give people the opportunity to care. But he has never made us mind readers. I don't know that you're in the hospital if you don't let it be known you're in the hospital. I don't know you're going through a great tragedy if you don't let it be known that you're in a great tragedy. And then we got those Secret Service people. I'm going to the hospital. Don't tell anybody. When somebody tells you that, tell somebody. Tell them, oh, okay, I won't if you really don't want anybody to come, if you don't want anybody to pray, if you don't want anybody to care, I won't tell anybody. We have people that you know, they've been in the hospital, they're at the hospital, they got out of the hospital, they're at home. They say, nobody from the church came to see me. Nobody at the church knew. Well, I told somebody in my Sunday school class. Sunday school classes, tell somebody else. It would help. And we're in a fast-paced medical world today. You know, that a lot of surgeries are not hospital stays. You know, you go through a certain surgical center somewhere. And you know, in today's world, just understand, it may not be that somebody can get to you before you have a procedure or a surgery done. But if they know, they can sure pray for you. And isn't it great to know somebody's praying for you? Somebody's seeking to encourage you. Verse 14 says, pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is very misunderstood. Touched on it a little bit before. Deal with it a little bit more right now. This oil is not ceremonial anointing with oil. Jay Adams, in his book, Competent to Counsel, states this. James did not write about ceremonial anointing at all. The ordinary word for ceremonial anointing was chirio. C-H-R-I-O, to give you but it's in the Greek, but that's how it would come out. James uses the word elion. Whole different word. Doesn't even sound like a breakfast cereal. Elion. Usually, elion means to rub in. And it was used in medical practices of the day, rubbing in lotions, rubbing in salves, rubbing in other healing agents. And so it's call the doctor. Use medicine. James is saying, call on the most godly people you know to pray. Yes, pray. Meet every difficulty with prayer first. Call on the most godly people you know to pray. And call the doctor. Get the best medical advice you can get that God has provided. Do both. Most people you call on to pray for you are not going to be the medical people that are going to give you medical help. Call both. Now, I have a wonderful Christian doctor. I like my doctor. Many of you share the same doctor that I share. You're using up all of his time. It's getting tougher to see him. But I have a wonderful Christian doctor. So from time to time, I'm asked, well, should I make sure that my doctor's a Christian? I want to be very, very clear here. If you are sick and you need a doctor, go to a doctor. Now, it's great to have a good Christian doctor. It is better to have a doctor that is good. A good Christian doctor can be wonderful, but a doctor that is good may be better. What I'm telling you is, now a Christian can be a great doctor, and that's wonderful if you have that going for you, but understand, there may be a doctor out there that's not a Christian that may just be the best in the field. Go to that guy or lady. Go to them. You know, I may have a Christian who's a wonderful person, but they made a C in the ailment I have. And there's somebody out there that made an A. I want the guy that made the A. Did you ever happen to think you may have this sickness so you can get in front of that lost doctor so that they can come to know Jesus? You don't have it it's not without a reason. So understand, God wants lost people to be saved. If he puts you with a lost doctor, seek to get the gospel to that lost doctor. Listen, you pay them enough to be able to tell them about Jesus. So when sick, seek prayer, move forward in faith, trusting the Lord, get medical opinions and advice, but move forward in faith. Dealing with sickness, move forward through flaws. Confess your faults one to another. You're going to have to listen fast. Verse 15 says, the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven. If your sickness is caused by sin in your life, you need to confess that sin. In fact, anytime you're sick, first thing you need to do is check yourself out spiritually. Make sure your sins are confessed. You need to go to God and you need to confess your sins. You need to get right with God. You need to make sure that sin is brought before God. And I'm talking about Christians here. If you're lost, you need to be saved. You don't have any help unless you're saved. But if you're saved, confess your sins. Sometimes we need to confess to others. Now, always we need to confess to the Lord, but sometimes we need to confess to others. You need to be very careful here. You need to be guarded in confession. You see, a misguided confession can do damage. God doesn't want you to do damage. Never confess a sin beyond the circle of its influence. There are some sins that only you and God know, and you need to take them to God. Thought life sins, sins that are secret sins, they really need to be kept that way. They need to be confessed to God, dealt with God, and then you need to move away from them. By the way, you need to turn from sin once you confess it. When we pray for one another, we need to pray that God will take care of individuals and God will take care of all of an individual's life. But we need to also pray in such a way that God will clean that person up spiritually, that God will make them the person they need to be. Don't confess a sin beyond its circle of influence. You know, if there's something that you need to get right with somebody and you can make it right, make it right. If you've sinned against another person and they don't know that you've sinned against them and there's no restitution to be made, take it to God. Don't take it to them. Because in taking it to them, you unload something on them that they're not prepared to take. And you may pull them away from God. Now, if restitution is to be made, you need to make restitution. If you can fix something, fix it. But be cautious of your confession. Make sure it's to God, that it's in the circle of influence, never outside of the circle of influence. What about people that come before the church and tell all? I wish they would tell less. Listen, nobody needs details of sin. No one does. I know the media wants to put everything out there. Nobody needs details of sin. You go to God with it. If it's a public sin, then it needs to be confessed publicly. But details do not have to be a part of that. It's enough to say that you've sinned, that you wronged God, that you wronged others, and then you move on in faith. Turn from sins. And God says in the Word, I will cleanse you. Before people can be right physically, you need to be right spiritually. And you're not going to be right spiritually unless you get the sin problem taken care of in your life. Now, if you're lost, you need to get Jesus. That's the only way to do that. If you're saved, you need to make sure you've got your sins confessed. Move forward through your flaws. Move forward through fellowship. pray one for another that you may be healed. One of the great joys and comforts of being in a church family is that we love one another, we can care for one another, we can reach out to one another, we can lean on one another. What a blessing it is to be in a Sunday school class, to have that small knit group that knows you, that can lift you up to the Lord like nobody else. That fellowship will strengthen you, will encourage you. Can it be the fellowship of the larger group of the church? Yeah, it can be, but I will tell you, the tight-knit fellowship of a Sunday school class can minister more personally. And that is a blessing. When we pray for one another, God leads us. We can see people healed. By the way, God still is in the healing business. How many of you have ever been sick? How many of you are better? God's in the healing business. All healing is done by God. Understand that our ultimate healing will not take place on this planet. Our ultimate healing is on the other side of the veil. Our ultimate healing may not be in this life. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die. And so one day, Christian or lost, something will take you. Now for the believer, it's a passage to glory. It's an ultimate healing. How much time do you have? I don't know. I don't know how long you will live, but you can determine how you will live long. You need to be surrendered to Jesus in all that you do, in all that you say, in every word, every deed. It needs to be in His hands. Believer, when dealing with sickness, hold to faith. Work through your flaws. Get your sins confessed. Clean up. You can't do right until you get right. And then hold to the fellowship. Let other believers circle around you and lift you up to Jesus. And those of us who know Jesus will one day walk the streets of gold, and there won't be any sickness there. But if you're lost, I can't say that for you. If you're lost, there's no ultimate healing. If you're lost, if you die in sickness, you stay in sickness. The pain is always there. The torment is always there. It is forever. And the worst thing of it all is it didn't have to happen to you. You had the opportunity at Northside Baptist Church to say, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want to be saved. I want Jesus in my heart. If you've never done that, you need to do it. For the lost, there is only agony for all eternity. But for the saved, there is deliverance, there is peace, there is joy. There is a place where no sickness can enter in. I have a lot of friends and family members who've already gone there. I will see them there one day. It is the ultimate healing. It comes to all who have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Believer, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Is there anything you need to take care of? Is there sin in your life you need to get rid of? Get rid of it. Let God have all of your life today. Live for Him. Face sickness for Him. And then glorify Him through eternity. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together. We pray now, Father, that you would move us to decisions. In this room are some that have never met Jesus, and Father, you brought them here today to meet you. And Father, I pray that they'd have the courage to come forward and say yes to Jesus. Others who need a church home, Father, and you've told them this is the place, let them become part of this family. Still others, Father, believers, members of the church, and Father, they have drifted away from you. Let this be the day they come back. And some, Lord, in this room are facing sickness, theirs or their loved ones. I pray, God, that you would give them guidance that gives you the glory. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, you come.